All you young people, please be seated, stay seated and listen. We're going to be in Galatians chapter number 1 this morning, but we have visiting with us here's Brother Jerry Helms, and his mother, Brother Jerry's working down in Carlsbad, I believe he said. And many years ago, in the 70s, we went to church over here at Fellowship Baptist Church, and Brother Jerry was there, and I was there, and I had only been saved a couple of years. But we built this, we built a building over here, and all of us church members got together and built it ourselves. Had a pastor named Brother Shadley, who turned out to be Brother Jerry's father-in-law. But I quit my job. I was a truck driver at Arrow Gas Company, which is not in existence now, but I quit my job and I went to work for Brother Shadley, the pastor, like a carpenter to help finish the building. He paid me $80 a week to pay to work on the to work on that building, and I was a carpenter. Y'all understand, I was a carpenter. One day we were working on the building, and it was probably on Saturday or someday. I think it was on Saturday. Brother Jerry here, he was a real carpenter. I'm just playing like I was a carpenter. But he had this old saw. It was a skill saw. I don't know what kind it was, but it didn't have a guard on it. You remember that saw? It didn't have a guard on it, and it was kind of big. And I'm not that big anyway. But I was up on the, we were building the second floor inside the sanctuary. And of course, we didn't have this before we had the roof on it. And we were putting the second floor up there, and I was up there, and I was sawing with that saw. And I guess I was acting big or something, acting like I knew what I was doing, but I sawed a board into and I brought that saw back over my hand like that. Didn't have a guard on it. Went right across the top of my hand there. And if it wasn't for the grace of God, then it would have cut my hand off. But it just caught the top of it and it just laid it open there, just like that. And I went to the hospital, took 7 stitches in it. But it wasn't that deep. But I never forgot that, you know. I don't mess around with them saws like that anymore. but anyway, so that's just one of the things that happened there. Anyway, this morning in Galatians chapter number 1, Jeff has been preaching from Galatians chapter number 1. We're going to preach a little more from it. And I'm going to take verse number 4 for a text verse. And I'll try not to be long this morning, and I'll try to be nice too. I'll try to be nice if I possibly can. Because you know, the older you get, the nicer you get. And the more gentle you get. See, the more gentle you get. So I'm a lot more gentle than I used to be. Because I know what people are, especially myself. I know what I am. Galatians chapter 1 and verse number 4 says this, "Who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father." Now, I want to take that for a text, and I want to preach to you for a few minutes this morning on this subject, living in this present evil world. Living in this present evil world. So let's pray, and then I'm going to read all 5 verses there. Father, we come to thy throne of grace again in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray to you to help us this morning. God, touch our hearts. Instruct us, Lord, from your holy words. God, and enlighten us, Father, and please help us to pay attention, God, and I pray the Spirit of God will capture our attention. Please help me, and I will thank you forever. In Jesus' name I pray. Thank you for it. Amen. Let's read verse number 1. It says, "Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by men, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead." Let me stop for just a minute. This book, the book of Galatians, is what you call a church epistle. In other words, the Apostle Paul, who is the apostle to the Gentiles, is writing to churches that he established on some of his missionary journeys, and he's instructing them on how they ought to act as a Christian. Christian behavior is what he's writing to them about. So he says there, the churches of Galatia is what he's going to say in verse number 2. So it is a church epistle, and Paul's writing is where we get sound doctrine for us in this age. Sound church doctrine is where we get it from, the writings of Paul. If you find something If you find something in the Old Testament or something in the book of Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John, or sometimes even Acts, and it just doesn't seem to fit in with what you believe, it may be that you have it in the wrong place because Paul gives us sound doctrine. There is nothing in the writings of Paul that would lead anybody to think that they can ever lose their salvation. There is nothing in the writings of Paul that would lead anybody to think that they're saved any other way except by grace through faith. There's nothing in his writings that seem to say that you're saved by baptism. Nothing like that. People get that from reading the book of Acts or Matthew or something like that. All the Bible was written to you, or it's all written for you, but it may not all be written exactly to you. It might be written to somebody else in a different time period, you see. But you get some good from all of it, but you got to put everything in the right place at the right time in order to get it right. We get sound doctrine from the Apostle Paul. That's why he's called the Apostle to the Gentiles. The Apostle to the Gentiles. Verse number two. And all the brethren which are with me under the churches, you see, churches. I do not believe in denominations. I believe only in independent churches. And if you want sound doctrine in this age, then you got to go to a Baptist church. You got to go, amen. You got to go to a Baptist church, an independent Baptist church that is not ruled by outside forces, that believes the Bible, amen, that goes by the Bible. The Bible is the authority. I'm not the authority. I'm not the authority. The Bible is the authority. We don't have any headquarters except in heaven. We don't have any authorities except up in heaven, you see. We don't have anybody. Nobody sends us any money. If nobody gives any money here, then we don't have any money, see. We don't make loans from somebody in Nashville or some other place. We don't do that. It only comes from God's people right here. All the brethren which are with me under the churches, plural, churches. Churches, no denomination. Verse number three, grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God the Father. Folks, let me tell you something. Nobody goes to heaven because they happen to be a good guy. Nobody goes to heaven because they're a good person. They do lots of good things. Nobody goes to heaven because they're in the army and they did all kinds of good. All that's good. I'm not against it. I'm patriotic. I did my little part. I went into the army, you see. But that doesn't get anybody into heaven, brother. You must be born again. You must be saved. You must accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. It says he gave himself voluntarily, willingly. He did that. Nobody drug him to the cross. Nobody had to take him kicking and screaming to the cross. He didn't cry on the cross, "Let me down. Help me, let me down." He didn't say that. He said, "Bring it on. Give me the best you got." You see, he voluntarily laid down his life. He said, "No man takes my life from me. I give my life. I lay it down willingly." For who? For the ungodly. That's who for. For people like you and people like me. People who are not worth saving. But he chose to redeem us. He could have started over. Adam and Eve sinned in the garden. He could have wiped them all out. But he chose to redeem us. You see? Nobody goes to heaven because they happen to be a good guy. Or a good man, a good woman, a good boy, or a good girl. You got to be saved, born again by the Spirit of God. Trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, and he will give you the gift of eternal life. Jesus gave himself willingly. That's number one, Sarah. See, there's three parts to this verse. It's not my sermon. By way of introduction, there's three parts to this verse. Number one, that Jesus Christ gave himself willingly, voluntarily. Number two, that he might redeem us from this present evil world. Now see, that's what God thinks of this world, this present evil world. He says, I'm going to save you out of that thing. I'm going to redeem you from that thing. I'm going to get you out of there. I'm going to be with you while you're there, and then one of these days I'm taking you out of there. You see, if you want to know what God thinks about this world, think about what God did to Egypt. He took the children of Israel out of Egypt. He took his son out of Egypt. He didn't leave anything over there, see? Jesus Christ himself, there's not one bone of Jesus Christ left in this world. Not a fingernail left in this world. You see, that's what he thinks about this world. It's an antichrist world. It's against God. It's against this world. It's no friend of God. It's no friend of the Bible. It's no friend of Jesus Christ. You see, he gave him that he might deliver us from this present evil world. You know what? The world is going to perish. People love this world. A lot of Christians, they love this world. It's going to perish. It's all going to burn up. It's going to blow up. It's going to vanish. He's going to make it over. 1 John chapter 2, verse number 17, the Bible says, the world passeth away and the lusts thereof. The world passeth away and the lust thereof. You see, present evil world is what it says. And by the way, it's not getting any better. It's getting worse. Yesterday, there were 20 people killed. Not in Afghanistan. Not in Iraq. Not in Iran. Not in Syria. But in a Walmart 250 miles southwest of here. Somebody mowed them down, is what I understand. That's not all. Last night, somebody else, what was it, 9 more killed in Dayton, Ohio? Tell me something. Well, the ones in Dayton, Ohio, I told the folks in Sunday school, I'm trying to be nice now, folks. I'm trying to be nice. Nobody, no Christian has any business being in a bar
right.
Or anywhere else
yeah.
On Saturday night or any other night of the week.
Amen.
If people choose the world, then they get what the world has to offer.
That's right.
You know what the world has to offer? Death and destruction.
Amen.
Death and destruction. I'm sorry for them. But it didn't have to happen. Week before that, not this week, but last week, there's 2 killed here. Within 5 blocks of where we're standing right now, right down the street here and back over here somewhere on South Avenue. Hey, folks, it didn't have to happen. I'm sorry. I'm sorry I weep for them. Bible says, weep with those that weep and rejoice with those that rejoice. You do all that kind of stuff, see. Sorry. I hate it. I hate it. It's murder. Murder goes on all the time. You know that? Today, murder is going on in the United States of America. They're going to kill 1,000 babies today. They're going to kill them. They're going to murder 1,000 babies in the womb. There may be some of them even outside the womb. They're going to kill them. They're going to kill them. I hate it. I hate it. You would think the one down here in El Paso, you know who the richest people in America are? The richest people in America, you know who they are? They're people that own Walmart. You'd think they could afford one guard, wouldn't you think? They could afford one guard for a Walmart store? I mean, they've got billions and billions of dollars. They've probably got Walmart stores that are closed up and they've just stacked it full of money. That's how much money they've got. They've got billions and billions of dollars. They can't even count it all. I'll put a guard in there, man. Put a guard in there with a gun. Get a good guy with a gun in there.
Amen.
Get a good guy. That'll cure everything. Put a guard in the schools.
Right.
Put a guard in the schools. You see, how did a guy go in there carrying some kind of a rifle or something? I don't know how it happened. But anyway, turn in your Bibles, please. We're in Galatians. Turning your Bibles to the next book over, chapter 4. chapter 4 and verse number, let me read some verses for you, verse number 17. Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 17. You know why these people that do this shooting, look, isn't that terrible? I don't know nothing about video games. I don't even know what they are. The only thing I know is my kids, when they were little, growing up, I had a Nintendo thing like that. You know, that's about as far as we got. But evidently now then, people sit around, the young people, I'm talking about almost grown. Can you imagine a grown man sitting around, I'm talking about over 20 years old, sitting around all day, fooling around with buttons and stuff like that, you know, violent video games, and then he wants to live out his fantasy. That's what the guy down at that El Paso said. Well, he wanted to live out his fantasy of shooting people. It's just wicked. Wicked. Amen. Ephesians chapter 4, look at verse number 17. It said, "This I say therefore, testify and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk." In other words, be different than the unsaved in the vanity of their mind. Verse 18, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. Now I could stop there where it says the blindness of their heart. I've got myself a note there. It says 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse number 4, and it says this. Whom Satan is the god of this world, and he hath blinded the minds of them that believe not. Anybody wants to follow this world and they love this world, then they put themselves under the devil. The devil is the god of this world. He's the god, little g, the god of this world. That's the devil. And he runs things down here. God allows him to do that. He runs this world. He says, verse number 19, who being past feeling. Now stop again. Somebody that wants to kill 15, 20, 30, 40, 50 people or 100 people, tell me, they are past feeling. Wouldn't you think so? Amen. Wouldn't you think that their conscience is seared with a hot iron? 1 Timothy chapter number 4. They have no conscience. Evil man, who being past feelings had given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness, but ye have not so learned Christ. And so be that ye have heard him, verse 21, and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. You see, in this world, the Bible says the world is corrupt. Not only is the world corrupt, but the old man, the old nature that's in every one of us, it's corrupt too. Amen. Sorry to tell you folks, but you don't get rid of the old man, the old nature, whenever you get saved. It's still in there. It's still in there. But you need to put, the Bible says, put on the new man and don't let that old man rule. Verse number 23, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. I'm going to give you in a minute Romans chapter 12 and verse number 2, which says that we are to be, our mind is to be renewed so that we can be new. Verse 24, and that you put on the new man, verse 24, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Now you see that it says be angry, but don't sin when you do. Don't keep it. Now any preacher that don't get angry over something is no good. If a preacher doesn't hate some things, or a Christian, they're no good. Brother, you can't be for everything. You got to be against some things. Amen. Against some things. Brother, God, the Bible says, Hebrews chapter 1 and verse number 8, that Jesus Christ loves righteousness, but he hates iniquity. Amen. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing that is good that he may have to give to him that needeth. You know, one of the problems today is that young people, they don't have any work to do. They don't have any work to do. I'm sorry for that. If you're a parent and you're sitting here and you've got young kids, get them something to do. I don't care if you have to go and make up something. Have them go out and pick up rocks out in the yard. Go pick up rocks. Go pull up weeds. That's just not any fun, and I just want them to have fun all the time. You're going to ruin your kids if you don't make them work.
Amen.
If you don't make your kids learn how to work. You don't want them to grow up and know nothing but how to punch buttons. Just sit there and do a channel changer. You know, that's all they know how to do. They need to get out and they need to learn how to sweat, put a hoe in their hand. Put a hoe in their hand, get them some work to do. Get yourself a dishwasher. You know what a dishwasher is? That's a girl, a couple of girls, see, in your family, and they can be the automatic dishwasher in the house. That's what my girls were. They were the dishwashers. Amen. The boys, I made up work for them to do. I made them learn how to change oil in the car and get greasy and mow the grass, you see. Learn how to work, learn how to do something, and make them learn the Bible. Make them memorize scriptures. You think my kids did that voluntarily? No, they didn't. I forced it on them. I made them do it. I made them memorize scriptures, and I stood before them, and we memorized scriptures. You see, doesn't make any difference. You might save their life.
Yeah.
You might save their life. You see, you might keep them out of jail. You might keep them from doing a bunch of other stuff. Teach them how to work, make them work, and sweat, and all that. It ain't going to hurt them. It ain't going to hurt them. Make them do things they don't like. Make them do things and make them mind you. And don't you let them sit there and argue with you all the time. You know, you don't let your kids run the house. You don't ask Sunday morning, y'all want to go to church this morning? No, I just don't want to today. No, we're going to church today.
Amen.
We're going today. We're going Wednesday night. We're going Sunday night. Ain't going to hurt them. If you get drugged to church, then get drugged to church. Might keep you off of drugs later on.
That's right.
See? Where are we at? Verse 27, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more. You know what the cure for lying is? Telling the truth. Just tell the truth. That's all you got to do. Quit stealing. Don't steal from God. Don't steal from the government. Don't steal from on your taxes. Don't steal.
Right.
Don't steal from anybody else. God will reward you. It's an awful thing. People lie to the government to get money for a few measly dollars. And God would probably bless people. You see. 28, let him that stole steal no more, neither let him labor, working with his hands, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have. And by the way, let me stop again. Make your boys turn out to be men, and nothing in between, and your girls to turn out to be girls.
Amen.
Feminine girls and masculine men, not a bunch of girly boys. And not a bunch of manly girls. Feminine. I told you before, out of all the stupid things I've ever done, at least my boys are men. And my girls are women. They don't wonder which bathroom to go into. There's no cause for that. That's stupid.
That's right.
And no cause for that at all. People going along with that stuff and making it okay. And we've got to accommodate these people. Man, that's evil. There's nothing that needs to be done there. Just teach them the right way.
Amen.
Teach them the right way. Make them boys. Make them men.
Amen.
And know how to work. And girls.
Come on,
amen.
Right.
Verse number 28. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands. The thing which is good that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. You know what I've heard before? I've heard mama sit there and let one of their kids cuss them. Cuss them. Man, they need to stop that car, get out, and give some whoopings. That's what needs to be done. That'll stop all that stuff, you see. Don't let that kind of stuff go on. No foul, no corrupt communication coming out of a person's mouth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed unto the day of redemption. I mean, you talk about eternal security. That's good enough right there. You are sealed to the day of redemption. You know what the day of redemption is? That's the day when Jesus Christ comes and takes us out of here. When He delivers us from this present evil world, you are sealed. Sealed in the body of Christ until that day. You see, verse 31, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. Even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Another point here. These people that did all this killing, you know what's going to go on? They're going to be people right now. They're going to be people. They're not going to want to give them the death penalty. Oh, no, that's cruel and unusual punishment. They go down here and kill 20 people. It doesn't matter if they kill one. Turn your Bibles, please. Look in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 9. Genesis chapter 9, verse number 4, 5, somewhere along there. Genesis chapter 9. Let's restart reading in verse number 4. I want to go down to verse number 6. Genesis chapter 9. But flesh with the life thereof, which is the blood thereof, shall ye not eat. Do not eat blood. Three times. Old Testament, before the law, under the law, under Moses' law, and in the New Testament. Three times the Bible declares, do not eat blood. You cannot pretend that it is the blood of that it's the literal blood of Jesus Christ. That's evil. It is not. The Bible says, don't eat blood. Verse number 5, and surely your blood of your lives will I require, at the hand of every beast will I require it, and at the hand of man, at the hand of every man's brother will I require the life of man. Look at verse 6. Whosoever sheddeth man's blood, that's called murder. That we're in the Ten Commandments in Exodus chapter number 20 on Wednesday night. We haven't got to it, but when we get over to the sixth commandment, it says, thou shalt not kill. That is not talking about war. It is not talking about accidents. It is not talking about manslaughter. It's talking about murder, premeditated murder. Jesus said in the New Testament, thou shalt do no murder. But right here in this verse number 6, whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man. You know what that means, by man? That is human government. Human government. By man shall his blood be shed. For in the image of God made he man. That is capital punishment. You want to read more about it? Read Numbers chapter number 35, and it will tell you more about it. God gave, back over here to Galatians, God gave human government the responsibility to carry out the sentence of capital punishment. But you see, here's the thing, folks. Everybody has dumped the Bible like God doesn't know what He's talking about. God knows what He's talking about. Only a few places do they still practice capital punishment or corporal punishment either. Y'all know what corporal punishment is, don't you? It's in the Bible, see? God knows what He's talking about. And whenever people reject the Bible and they reject God's authority as having no authority over them, like the Supreme Court or the government of the United States of America, I don't care what we like about them or we don't like about them, but the official stand of the United States of America, the official stand of the government of the United States of America, is evolution. They do not believe the first 10 chapters of Genesis. They don't believe it. Evolution. I'm just giving you first here. See, and I'm not going to get finished. But three parts to that verse. Number one, that Jesus Christ gave Himself for our sins on the cross of Calvary voluntarily. That's number one. Number two, that He might deliver us from this present evil world. Why? Because this world is going to perish, and it's getting worse every day. And you talk about evil. Luke chapter 11 and verse number 13, Jesus said this, "If ye then being evil," he just takes it for granted that all men are evil. There's some evil in there. I don't care how good we are, there is some evil in there. There's evil in every, there's some in there. And under the right conditions, if it comes out, you might be shocked. You see. So he says he might redeem us from this present evil world. And number three, according to the will of God the Father. God and our Father. In other words, it was God's will that Jesus Christ die on the cross so that we could be delivered from this present evil world. You see, that's God's will. You know what? God doesn't want people to perish. God doesn't want people to go to hell. God does not want people's lives to be destroyed. But they will be. But they will be if people reject God's words, the words that are found in that King James Bible right there. Then they put themselves under the authority of the devil and they get what the world has to offer. I'm sorry for it. There's a lot of other things that we could talk about here. But I'm just going to go to my last part here. The things that we have to deal with in this present evil world is, number one, is death. Number two is sin. Number three is evil people. That's what you got to deal with in this world. Number four, disappointment, like Job. Number five, weakness. Weakness. Bodily weakness. You have to deal with that in this life. Folks, look at me. I wish I was a lot stronger than I used to be. I could preach for an hour and I could run all over the place. I can't do that anymore. You know why? Because I'm weaker than I used to be. The same thing's going to happen to you. You have to put up with that. You have to deal with that in this life. Weakness. Weakness. Have to deal with our own sinful flesh. Number seven, we have to deal with the evil all around us, an evil world. We have to deal with opposition from the devil. We have to deal with unbelief. We cannot see God. God is a spirit. We cannot see Him, so therefore we must walk by faith. Unfairness, folks, life is unfair. Life is not fair. Like Job, why do the righteous suffer? But folks, I got good news for you. God Almighty did not leave us without help. He did not leave us without help, and He did not leave us alone. I'm going to give you four things God gave you to help you real quickly. Number one, He's given us the Spirit of God. He's given us the Spirit of God. God, I love you. I love your Spirit. I love the Spirit of God. You know where He lives? He lives inside of every one of you. He lives inside of every saved person. No matter where you go, no matter what you do, you cannot lose Him. You cannot sin so that the Spirit of God will leave you. Now, He might just back up and hide a little bit, hide His face from you. But He's not going to completely leave you. Turn in your Bibles, please, to John chapter number 14. John chapter number 14. And verse number 16. John chapter 14, verse number 16. I believe it's 16 and 17 is what I want to read. John chapter 14, verse 16. And Jesus Himself speaking, He says, "And I will pray the Father, and He will give you another Comforter." You see, Jesus is saying this because He's about to leave. "That He may abide with you for how long? Temporarily? No, forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth Him not." You see, this world, they've got to see things. They don't have any faith. But we have faith. We know He's there. "Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive." Why? Because they can't see Him. "Neither knoweth Him, but you know Him, for He dwelleth with you and shall be in you." Turn the page. Chapter 15 and verse number 18. Chapter 15 and verse number 18. Jesus said, "If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If he were of the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. That'd be us. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. Let me see what else here. Verse number 19, 20. Look down verse number 25. No, verse 24. If I had not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not had sin. But now have they both seen and hated both me and my Father. But this cometh to pass that the world might be fulfilled, the word might be fulfilled that is written in their law. They hated me without a cause. But when the comforters come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. Amen. You know what God has done? God himself has come down to live inside of every single person. How can he do that? I don't know. But God has sent his Spirit to indwell the heart of every believer, and your body is the temple of God. This building here is not the temple of God. It's a building that we use to meet in, and we thank God for it. But the real temple of God is you. As a church, as a body, there's something to that also. But God has sent his Spirit. Number two, what has God given you? That we will not be alone. Number one, he's given you the Spirit of God. Number two, he's given you the Word of God. The Word of God. God Almighty is a Spirit. He is not shouting out orders from here. He's not on some mountain somewhere like he was on Mount Sinai preaching out and thundering out orders. He's not doing that now. He's up in heaven. He's sitting on his throne. He's ruling over the universe. He knows what's going on. God is still on his throne. And he doesn't need any help from us to rule. He is complete and all-sufficient. You see. But he's given us his word, the written words of God. Within that book contained the promises of God. Are you ever discouraged? Are you ever depressed? Are you ever lonely? Then find out what the Bible says and get acquainted with the promises of God. He will never leave you. The Bible says where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. You cannot sin away your salvation. Brother, if you could, then I'd be gone. I'd be a goner. He's given us the Word of God. He's given us the promises in his Bible, the promise of eternal life, the promise of forgiveness, the promise of fellowship with God and with one another, the promise of mercy, the promise of grace to help us in time of need, the promise of provision. Philippians 4:19, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Your needs, not your wants, but your needs. Sometimes you never know where it's going to come from. He's given us the promise of his presence. The promise of his presence. You ever notice this? You ever notice that since you've been saved? I don't care what you were doing, but you just had a sense of the presence of God. Amen. And that, don't you notice that? Amen. Don't you notice that's God? That's God, you see. That's God. God has not left us alone. He has given us, number one, the Spirit of God. Number two, he's given us the Word of God. Number three, he's given us the people of God. The people. You know who passes through them doors right there? The best people in the world. They're Christians. They're not perfect. None of us are. But God has given us the people of God. We are to assemble together. We are to encourage, to praise, to fellowship, to uplift one another. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse number 25, the writer there, Paul, probably says, not forsaking the assembling. The word assembling, you know what that means? That means churching, getting together as a church. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, as you see the day approaching. Is the day approaching? Yes, the day is approaching. The day is approaching. God has given us the people of God. It's a shame. Many churches have sold out. They have gone astray from the old ways. I don't take change quickly. I'm sorry, man. I'm old school. I mean, I'm old school. I'm way back there. I don't change. I don't change quickly. The Bible says in the book of Proverbs that you ought to beware. Beware of those that are given to change. They've changed, man. They're no difference from them and the world. They changed their music. They changed their music. Don't want nothing to do with it. I don't want nothing to do with it. Brother, if I have a funeral and if I die, I don't need any honky-tonk music. Don't want any honky-tonk music. Amazing Grace is good enough for me. Blessed Assurance is good enough for me. What is that? There's a land that is fairer than day, page 41. That's good enough for me. Great is thy faithfulness, man. That's good enough for me. That's all I want. Don't want nothing else. Don't need any honky-tonk music. Don't need it at all. I don't want any watered-down Bibles. I take the real deal. I take the real Bible. Don't want any of that kind of stuff, see. I don't need a Bible that reads like a newspaper that leaves out verses. This Bible right here, I don't have to worry about it. I know it's right. I know it's right. God Almighty has given us the people of God, the church of God, assembled together with the church of God. In number 3, 4, He's given us the power of God. The power of God. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 1:7, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." God can help you to keep a sound mind. You won't go crazy in this present evil world. Brother, He's going to come and take us out of here. That's why Jesus died on the cross, to deliver us. Not so we'd love the world. He wants us to be separated from the world. Amen. Romans 12:2. He's going to come and take us out of this world. Amen. Power of God, Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. I can take a book. I can take this Bible. Not this one, but a little testament. I can take this book and I can go up to a total stranger. Something I could never do before. I'm bashful, man. I was so bashful when I was a kid. You know, I was scared of my own shadow. But I can take a Bible and I can go up to a total stranger and I can open it up and tell them exactly what's in there and how to be saved, how you can have eternal life. My wife and I talked to a girl, went Tuesday night, we'd never seen before. Her name was Cameron. Cameron. 17th Lane, and she got saved right there at her door. I believe truly that she got saved. You see, you can do that. God has not left you powerless or without power. He's given you the Word of God, the Spirit of God, the people of God, and the power of God is in you, you see. Amen. Help you to do things you'd never thought you could do before. Amen. Our time is up. Looks like I've seen most of y'all, and you're probably already saved. So let's bow our heads, please.